Thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for a wonderful time of worship. Father, we thank you your presence is with us, Lord. Thank you for the exceedingly great power that is available to us, O God, through the Holy Spirit, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask that you will have a freedom, O God, today in us, Lord. Have your way in us and through us and with us, Lord. So we just commit this time together, Lord, that Lord, we will be, Lord, submerged under the power of the Holy Spirit, and we live our life, O God, not by our own strength, but through your strength, through your power. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today is a very exciting. What Sunday is it today? Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. You know, very few times a year, I think. I actually don't know how the service is going to go. Today is one of those. I've got tons in my heart. I don't know which one to leave out. Like, I can only share like maybe 20% of what is on my heart. The Holy Spirit. Church was born because of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be here. Amen. It's all about the Holy Spirit. There is no church without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is being poured out, and you and I became believers. We received salvation without the Holy Spirit being poured out, as Jesus promised. There will be Israel, and there will be Gentiles. Did you know that you've got power inside of you that is greater than the forces of the universe? This sounds like New Age teaching. Sounds weird, but it's absolutely true. This is what separates believers from, you know, all this other New Age movement, is that very God who created the universe has decided to move inside of human spirit. That is shocking. How can uncontainable God come inside with all his power, reside inside of you and me? How? I mean, we just think, yeah, yeah, Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus said it will be in you. Yeah, yeah. Do you really believe this stuff? The power that created universe with one voice, let there be light, there was light, has moved in to live inside, take full residence inside of you. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. When we grab hold of it, it's tremendous. No matter what we face in life, how many sometimes feel like you're a bit like orphan? I remember when I was younger, well, sometimes, I mean, I confess, even as a pastor some years ago, I woke up in the morning, and I woke up lying in the bed, closing my eyes, I'm conscious, and I feel like I'm floating. And in my heart, it just feels like I'm floating in the middle of the ocean. And there is no one from miles in every direction. Have you felt alone? Have you felt you're like orphan in this world? Tossed to and fro by the powers that are out of your control, at the mercy and the whim of events and the people who seems powerful, yet you feel weak, small, really small, powerless, don't know what to do, where to go, lack resources, lack power, lack vision, lack direction. You know, why don't we turn to John chapter 14. Jesus, before he left, he introduced somebody else, beautiful person, to his disciples before he left the earth, and saying, he was saying to the disciples, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's been fantastic being with you for the last 3.5 years in fantastic ministry of signs and wonders. Time's coming, the curtain's gonna come down, I'm about to leave you. I'm going to go back to where I come from, heaven. How would you have felt If you're one of those, you've been following Jesus, you left everything. I mean, it cost you. Physically, you have to leave things to be with Jesus. Yeah, some left their home, land, family, their job, to be with Jesus, thinking that Jesus is going to push all the way through and bring his establishment and kingdom in Israel and overthrow all this regime, Roman government, everything. And then they thought they would just slide into the powerful position with Jesus. And right in the thick of miracles and signs and wonders, fantastic, suddenly Jesus drops a bomb and say, guys, it's been fantastic. I love you very much. But from here on, you're going to have to go without me. Because you know what? I'm going to go up. But you can't come with me yet. They were depressed. They were worried. And I like all these questions these apostles throws at them. You know, in the classroom, nobody wants to raise hands and ask questions. But Thomas asked, Lord, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, that is some comfort, but it's not the full comfort because you're going to have to carry on. And they're saying, Lord, how do you get to where you are? Jesus said, you know the way. I am the way. What? How do I get to you? How do I connect with you again? Because you are the source of life. When you were hungry, you provided food. When we were broke, you prayed and, you know, you told them to go and throw the net and then get the fish and there will be coin. You can pay taxes. I mean, fantastic. You're hungry and Jesus prays, multiplies food. You're sick and then Jesus comes and lays hands on Peter's mother and the fever leaves. Every source, every problem, every challenge. When they were in the boat, they're about to capsize. They wake Jesus up and Jesus get up and just rebukes storm, get muzzled. And the whole thing just dies down. Whenever they came into trouble bigger than themselves, all they have to do is that wake Jesus up. Talk to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. One time they were going into the sea and, you know, Jesus was in the water. Wow, that's a ghost. They're just scared, screaming. Jesus steps into the boat. You know all the story. They get supernaturally translated into the destination, just like that. All night they're rowing. They get nowhere. Jesus comes in. They're on the other side. Jesus is answer to everything. And then Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave you. So they are depressed. They're worried. What do I do? I feel like an orphan. But Jesus is saying one more thing. He says, you know what? All the stuff that I do, you've seen me doing, you can do too. In fact, greater works than these you will do. How would you feel? Just before Jesus leaves, he says, greater works. It's actually better for you that I go. What? Makes no sense. Please don't go. You know, I would probably hold on to his leg. Don't go. I left so much. I don't know what to do without you. And Jesus said, don't worry. It's actually better if I go. Because when I go, only when I go and arrive safely at the right hand of the Father, I can send you another person. Another there in Greek is an important word. If I give you an apple and then I give you another orange, I'll use the word heteros, different type, different kind. But if I take an apple and replace it with exactly same apple, I use the word allos. Jesus saying, I'm going away. I'm going to send you the one that is actually me, myself. But this time it's going to be different because it's better because I'm not going to just be with you. They could only be with Jesus, hang around Jesus. He says, when this person, who is me, in every way comes, he will come right inside your spirit and he will be with you forever. Wow, that's the New Testament church. That's the church. That's you and me. We need to grab hold of it. Let's read just a few verses. I mean, you know, before I read, I did all the preaching. All right. Turn to John chapter 14, a few verses there. I'm going to pick up from verse 12, actually, because I want to tell you what Jesus actually said. John 14, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. You know, the contextually, it's the worst time for Jesus to say this, saying, I'm going to go away. It's the worst time, most depressing time, he says, you know, you're going to do what I do and even more. I go, what? Just to stay. That's all I want. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be, where? In you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The original word there is, I am coming to you. So I will continue to come to you. After I'm gone away, I'm keep coming to you continually every day through the Holy Spirit. And then he moves into very interesting things, like, you know, verse 19 says, a little while longer, the world see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, I in you. I mean, it's just amazing words. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Let's say manifest. Manifest myself. Disclose myself. Make my presence felt. Says that I'm going to go away. When I go, the world will not see me. But he says, you will see me. And before, disciple had real trouble understanding Jesus saying, I'm one with the Father. Father is in me. I'm in him. And all these strange things. And he says, when the Holy Spirit come, you will finally know and understand how all these things work. You will experience what it means to be one with me and one with the Father. When the Holy Spirit comes inside, finally you know what it's like. Because I am in the Father, Father is in me, we are one. But you cannot know. I'm telling you these things. I mean, you know, when Jesus said that, you know, the people, Jews, picked up the stone to stone him. They understood what it meant. Says, what? And Jesus is saying, you know what? When I send you the Holy Spirit, the Helper, he comes inside of you and lives in you. Finally, experientially, you will know what it means to be one with God. All because of the Holy Spirit. Now, the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, you remember Saul, King Saul? He was anointed by God. When you get anointing of the Holy Spirit, your spiritual capacity expands. But it wasn't permanent. Holy Spirit came upon people for a specific purpose in life, and it gave them power. But when they left God, when they fell away from God, there's that vacuum in that expanded spiritual capacity. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, what? Left Saul. And then replaced it, what? The tormenting spirit, evil spirit, unclean spirit came to torment Saul from that day on. David saw what happened to Saul. Saul, when he was anointed by God, he was good. He was powerful. He was mighty. But once the spirit left, evil spirit had to replace the vacuum. And his life was, you know, he would just howl like an animal. I've literally heard people who were anointed fell away so deeply, began to, you know, be tormented. David knew what it's like to be anointed and fall. That's why when David sinned, he cries out in Psalm 50, I sinned against you. Please, what is he pleading? Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. It's unthinkable when you lose the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, you know, what did God say to David? God says to David, you know what? I love you so much. I give you this covenant. Your child, when he falters and goes astray, I'm going to discipline him and bring him back, but I will not take my Holy Spirit from him. What an amazing promise. That's the real security that we all need. Don't we all fall at times? Now, what's Jesus saying here? Incredible, he says. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes inside of you to make a permanent home. He will be with you for how long? Forever. That is very, very amazing. That is that promise, Davidic covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 7, being fulfilled in our lives, that the Holy Spirit comes inside. Now, Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because we can, by our sin, grieve the Holy Spirit. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, his presence and power withdraws. But he doesn't permanently leave us unless we deny Christ permanently. He stays with us. He's there to be with us through thick and thin. That's why the Bible says, you know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, whatever situation, here even Jesus says, you know what, in the world, you're going to have a big problem, big trouble, but don't worry, I've overcome the world. How is that a comfort? Jesus says, don't worry, you're going to have a big trouble in the world, but I came over. Yes, Jesus, you overcame the world. Jesus says, another one that I send you, exactly like me, is going to come inside of you, live inside of you. All the power that I wielded, the whole kingdom comes to move inside of you. Inside of me is far greater power than we realize. Amen. Amen. This is very, very important. You know, Paul prays in Ephesians, says, he prays that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will come, that our eyes will be open, that we'll understand the hope of his calling and the riches of great inheritance, his inheritance in the saints. And he says the prayer, he says, the greatness of power, inside of us. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It says that power that believers we realize that power is inside of you. Amen. This is what happened when Jesus said, when I go up, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. If you feel like orphans, sometimes we do. You know what? The name of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful one. It says helper, the helper. I don't know what translation you get. It's untranslatable in one word. That's why New King James, it says, Holy Spirit's name is helper. But the Holy Spirit's name, NIV, translates as counselor. The one who gives the best counsel when you need real counsel. Hallelujah. And then King James translated as a comforter, because we need comfort and encouragement. How many Christians go through discouragement and unbelief? Discouragement is a big thing, right? People fall into, you know, sinful habits because of discouragement. Because we feel powerless. We feel we are not empowered. We feel out of control. We don't find comfort. He says, comfort is in the Holy Spirit inside of us. I like that. You know, sometimes secular song, the hero, Mariah Carey. How many know that hero? There's a hero lies in you. She's got beautiful voice. You know, I mean, I don't listen to a lot of pop song, but you know that one I was hearing and I'm going, what? Is this Christian song or what? Because it's true. There's a Superman. Hero, that's not you, but inside of your spirit is living inside. And when you feel you can't go on anymore, he rises to take you further. He strengthens you. It's God inside of you. Hallelujah. No power can stop that God. How many times have I been discouraged? I'll be honest with you. Nowadays, less. But still, we all face discouragement. I sit in coffee shop and just sit quiet and focus my heart on the Lord. And suddenly, there's a flood of encouragement, dreams of God and the visions that God has. Saying, Paul, you didn't miss it. It's all right. Keep going. Time's coming. There's a greater power. There's a deliverance. There's a breakthrough coming on your way. Keep holding. Keep walking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He's comforter. He's encourager. He's also legal attorney. New Revised Standard Version translated as advocate. Advocate is like, you know, when you're in the court and you're not sure, I mean, or when you're guilty, your advocate, your lawyer comes up, and that's the Holy Spirit, and says, what? It's my blood, all gone. No matter what accusation, it's made ineffective. All that voice just loses voice because the blood of Jesus speaks, screams louder than the voice of accusation. It says, in heaven, there's a blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews 12. And that voice speaks better than the voice of Abel. Abel's blood is the voice of righteousness. His blood speaks for vengeance, justice. Jesus' blood cries out louder than every other voice. It drowns every other voice. That blood speaks out mercy for you and for me. Amen. Whenever Jesus steps in, whenever Holy Spirit steps in, there is no condemnation. Hallelujah. There's a freedom. Amplified Bible, it says, I'll ask the Father and He will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby that He may remain with you forever. Amen. How comforting. We are not alone. Sometimes we look for that comfort in one another, and it's good. Sometimes, you know, I come across myself as well, all the time. People look for, you know, like 30 years ago, I got saved. It was such a wonderful time, you know, but it's a great fellowship. We look for something in the past that has passed. You cannot go back to the time when the Lord was touching you. For the first time you got saved, you were happy. Can't go back. It's not there. God wants us to go forward. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. We can't go back. We move forward in God. Amen? And all the power and courage, encouragement, all the resources inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We move forward. Holy Spirit is a lot of other things, but probably we'll skip, you know. So what does that mean? Holy Spirit is your teacher, your guide, your provider, administrator of every good things from heaven. We cannot receive anything apart from the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit is a shy person of the Trinity. Shy person of the Trinity. He never puts himself up out. He always points to Jesus and the Father. It's almost like, unless Jesus introduced, it's like, you know, we forever be wondering, is that power? Is that it or he? But John chapter, you know, 16, Jesus says it's he. The Spirit of truth is the Spirit of truth. He, the person, third person of Trinity, God, Almighty God. Where is God the Father? In heaven. Where is Jesus? At the right hand of the Father. So how come is Jesus inside of us? Through the Holy Spirit, because three in one. God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. It's all triune God is one and the same. Distinct yet one in every point. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you got the whole person. We believe in Jesus. Holy Spirit comes in. You've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, real, experientially. Now, what does that mean then when Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit? Do you all have the Holy Spirit? Yes? Do you all have the overflowing of the Holy Spirit? Because Bible says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit continually. Don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because there's a similarity. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you lose fear. It's a bit like, You know, when you're drunk, you lose fear, you feel hot, you feel bold. It's a bit like that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed for the day of salvation through the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has to come upon us. Now, what does all this thing then? Because, you know, the whole bunch, the brand of the church body, more than 50% now, they're kind of, you know, talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes? Do you know? How do you know? This is, you know what? This thing called baptism of the Holy Spirit brings a lot of reaction when I say baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've actually heard very mature Christians saying there is no such thing as a baptism in the Holy Spirit in the scripture. So I'd show this person seven passages where Bible talks about baptism in the Holy Spirit seven times. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? And all kinds of reaction come. So, oh yeah, I am. Very proud. And others are going, what? I've been Christians. You mean I got something that you have, I don't have? It offends a lot of people. Make a lot of people proud. In fact, it split the church, right? You know, in the early church, nothing would have united the church, Jews and Gentiles, except the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that brought Gentiles into church without becoming Jews, without making us into Jews or proselytizing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit was a unifying factor. When they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, they knew we belong to one another. We don't need to change customs and cultures. Turn to John 20. I want to clarify this, even though I think most of us should be pretty clear. I want to clarify it. What does it mean, baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus says this power comes inside of us. Is there something that we need to seek further, that we've been short-circuiting the power of God in our lives? I've been very challenged this week and last few weeks. I've been seeking God, Lord, I want more of this reality. I know I've got theology, I've got some experience and all that, but Lord God, you're far greater. Lord, I want my eyes to be further open. I want to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, Jesus said, after resurrection, John chapter 20, verse 22, I'm going to just read you just one verse. Jesus appeared. He got resurrected. He appeared on the resurrection Sunday to the disciples who locked themselves in the inner room, not because they were praying so much, but because they were scared. If other people find out that they gather together in one place, they go and kill them and just, you know. So the door was locked to keep people out. And then Jesus just walked in and he said this. Jesus said to them, peace to you. Oh, sorry. And when he had said to this, peace to you, Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22, he says, when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed into them. Receive the Holy Spirit. The question, this is the Resurrection Sunday. Did the apostles, 12 apostles, receive the Holy Spirit? When Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit and breathe it upon them, did they receive the Holy Spirit or not? They have, right? They have. Jesus can't fail. The Spirit, the word Spirit means breath. It's the same thing. And it says, receive my breath, and Jesus breathed on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. Then, after this, why is Jesus saying, don't go out yet? Jesus said, I'm going to send you, but don't go out yet, but stay, tarry, a bit longer. Not many days from now, you receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power and be witnesses. So what's these two different things mean? I think this confused a lot of people, depending on the also backgrounds. It offends people or excites people. I believe that this is the Resurrection Sunday. I believe who they met. They met resurrected Jesus. And they received the inbreathed Holy Spirit inside of them. What does how do we get saved?
By faith.
Romans 10, 9 and 10, he says, with a heart you believe that Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead. You confess this with your mouth, you get saved. When you believe Jesus' death for our sins and resurrection from the dead, and we confess it with faith, we become saved. Who did they encounter? They encountered resurrected Jesus. And they confessed in faith. Jesus breathed in them and they received inbreathed Holy Spirit. Results, I believe, was life. Was that they moved from the Old Testament kind of salvation that looks forward to the full New Testament salvation that looks backward to what Jesus said then. The fact that Jesus bled for our sin and raised from the dead. Son of God, they believe and their faith and the Holy Spirit sealed in them for salvation like a guarantee. They were sealed with the salvation. The result was life and peace and joy. What happened? 7 weeks later, Pentecost means 50 days after. 7 weeks, 49 days. They were praying. And Acts 2, Holy Spirit came down again. Acts 2, verse 3 and 4. They were on the day of Pentecost, they were praying. And then they were in one accord, verse 1 and 2. Day of Pentecost has fully come, and they were with all one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They received the Holy Spirit, but this time, Holy Spirit came over them. From the whole room was filled, which simply means same word as baptism. Baptism means you get dipped, plunged, or you get come under the influence or the liquid. Holy Spirit filled the room. All of them were plunged into the Holy Spirit to the point that they were filled from inside to overflowing. And it flowed out of their mouth. And there are other things that happened as well. They had a tongues of fire. How many? I like to see the tongues of fire. We haven't seen this for a while. There were supernatural things that were happening in the room. And then they were filled with boldness. And they were, from locking themselves into the door, they became bold. They went out and preached boldly. Look at what Peter said. You killed Jesus. It's almost like, kill me if you want. I don't care. I preach this Christ to you. And they were cut to the heart. 3,000 were saved. What happened? They met ascended Jesus. Because Jesus said, when I ascend to the Father, arrive to the throne of God and take my seat, then I'll send my Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fell on them in power, it means that Jesus, they saw with their eyes, Jesus ascending. Oh, Jesus has taken the center place of universe. All authority and power had given to Jesus. Jesus is in charge of history and everything. They knew when the Holy Spirit came because Jesus said, when I get to my destination, Father's right hand, Holy Spirit will come to you. Amen. Hallelujah. They have absolutely no doubt. Jesus is king and he runs the universe. And they met Jesus of ascension. They met Jesus of ascension through the Holy Spirit. What was the result? Result was a power. This is when you receive the Holy Spirit, It's more than doing the witnessing. He says you will be witnesses. Because the Holy Spirit will empower you. The words that you speak will pop. And there is someone else. You know, the word, the Greek word, helper, actually means parakletos, someone called alongside you. Stand by, 24-7. He's right beside you. In fact, he's right inside, helping us with everything. Hallelujah. We need to get acquainted. We need to welcome, and we need to say, Lord, I want to know you. I can know the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit is almost like, you know, let's say that beautiful, not so beautiful child picture, kind of okay picture. Let's suppose that's Jesus. You want to see it, but you can't see it. Only way you can see it is that you turn on the light in the dark, if you're in the dark. Almost it's the light is the Holy Spirit. You're almost unaware he's there, but he makes everything work. He causes us to see Jesus on the inside. He releases power. Everything that he has, he receives through him. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Are you talking to the Holy Spirit? Can we talk to the Holy Spirit? Are we supposed to talk to the Holy Spirit? Yes, yes. Are we supposed to? Are we worshiping God of triune God? Yes? Is Holy Spirit God in every way? Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. He's a really shy person. It's almost like when you look at Genesis 25, there's a beautiful picture, an illustration of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Abraham had a servant, head servant in his house, and he says, why don't you go and find for my son Isaac a wife? So this servant is in charge of all the wealth of Abraham, goes with 10 camels loaded with goods, go far distance and talks to Rebecca. And then he says, you know what? I am in charge of all my master's wealth. And he's got a son, wonderful son. He wants to marry you. Would you come? How many will just say, I'm going to come? You never seen him, you never met him. You don't know how many physically seen Jesus? No one. Why do you love him? Do you believe in his words? Rebecca says, yes, I'm going. The servant takes Rebecca all the way back. This is the human history in a nutshell. God the Father created all the universe. He loves his son. He wants to provide a bride for his son. And he sends the Holy Spirit to earth to prepare a bride who will say, yes, I'm going to leave my father's house. I'm going to leave everything. I don't care this world. I believe every word that you say. I'm coming with you. And then where we end up in heaven, marriage supper of the Lamb. But do you remember that servant who actually accomplished the purpose didn't even have a name? There's no name. That's the Holy Spirit. He has anything we receive from God, we go through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't even care. He's the supreme administrator of everything that God has. Amen. Amen, amen. You know, I just want to share a few, how did the Holy Spirit, you know, Bible, when it says receive the Holy Spirit, when you look at Book of Acts, it's actually talking not about receiving the inward Holy Spirit, it's talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit as fire and power in our life. Every single time, I can show you, but once I show you, all the time will be gone. Every instance, Holy Spirit came upon them and over them and filled them to overflowing. What's the most difficult thing in your Christian life? What do you find most challenging? It's this. Before you sin with your body, usually we sin with our tongue. It's unruly member, your tongue, the words. You can't control it because whatever is in your heart, it'll come out. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes? He makes a big announcement. He takes control of your tongue and says, I'm here. You begin to pray in a tongue that glorifies God, even though you may not fully understand. I might skip, but just tell you some stories of, you know, this baptism of the Holy Spirit has been for very, very long time in the dark, until exactly 1901, December 31st, and the clock was ticking over to 1901, January 1st, in Topeka, Kansas. About 30 of the Bible college students under Charles Parham met together. And this is not the normal Bible college with all the slick things. They just had a place, and whoever wants to come, you don't have a fee. You don't have a tuition fee. Teachers don't get supported. They all say, if you can believe God will supply all your needs, come and join us. And there is an old this library that says their library was the Bible. They just study the Bible and pray. And so December, Parham was going away, and they're going to have a watch night service. And he says, you know what? 3 days, I'm going to be away out of town. I'll give you one homework to do. Why don't you all do some research and what, you know, find out what Jesus means, baptism of the Holy Spirit, from the scripture. And let's all come back and let's share the results. They all studied for 3 days, searched the scripture, went back and forth through Book of Acts, and they found out, mostly all agreed that, you know what, baptism of the Holy Spirit was something that you can receive after you're born again, that you believe. You receive power from on high as an experience. Now, I can't show you now. Maybe I'll show you another time from the scripture very clearly. And they began to seek God. They said, Lord, if you had that, because they had a lot of denominationalism, right? So you have this kind of teaching, that kind of teaching, that kind of teaching. Say, why don't we go all the way back to our roots, Book of Acts? If they had it, why can't we have it? I want what they had. And they begin to pray and see God get really hungry, really hungry. And Parham came. They met together for the watch night service. And they cry out. This one lady came out and say, you know what? I believe the scripture. If they had it, we're going to receive it. They're so hungry. Why don't you lay hands on me? I'll receive it. I believe it. And Parham said, no, I've never seen it. I don't even have it. What do you mean? Don't. And he's going back. She just goes, no, I believe. Put your hand. And he did. And power flowed. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She just fell out in power and began to speak in other tongues. She was speaking in fluent Chinese for 3 days. And she couldn't speak English for 3 days. People were trying to say, wake her up. What's going on? She was trying to explain what's happening. She could only write in Chinese for 3 days. And the whole Bible college got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the government, you know, interpreters and all this report, newspaper all came. And the linguist came and he heard 20 different dialects spoken out of handful of people in one night. Very, very clear dialects. Began to spread after that. Because you know what? With that came power. With that came healing. With that came visions, dreams, power, witness. Things began to just explode. That spearheaded Seymour, you know, William J. Seymour, Azusa Street, and all the rest. John G. Lake, a very well-known healing evangelist. He was born in 1890. I wanted to tell you his kind of a story, but time's gone. But, you know, he got so hungry for the Holy Spirit. He was a scientist. He was a, you know, he loved chemistry like me. He loved to put things into, you know, real experiment and things. He began to get so hungry because he loved God. He had a real hunger for God, but all his family was sick. 8 of his siblings died of sickness as he was growing up. He remembers, as I was growing up, all I remember is, you know, death, sickness, doctors, medicine, gravestones, sobbing, and the, you know, heartbroken parents. That really marked my life. He's crying out for deliverance. He married a beautiful lady called Jenny within, you know, a couple of years of happy marriage, she began to get sick. So death is all around. He began to cry out. One day he came back home. He was so frustrated. He chucked the Bible to the fireplace. God, you cannot do this to me. Now, I'm not telling you to chuck the Bible. Don't be disrespectful. And then he fell open to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. It says, therefore, God so anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Light dawned. All this oppression, sickness, pain, hopelessness is the work of the devil. And Jesus was anointed by God to set us free from all these things. Light just dawned. So Revelation, he went to Jenny, his wife, and declared, by 9:30 in the morning, you will be well. And then he sent a telegram to Alexander Dowie, who was the real powerful healing evangelist at the time. So you pray. And he said, 9:30 he came in. He just knelt and began to pray. She coughed a few things, and suddenly all the paleness left. She had a heart disease. She was dying. Doctor gave her up. She began to take nitroglycerin or something like that. It was just killing her. And suddenly she said, I'm healed. She came out, and they became missionaries to South Africa. And the power of God on this man was incredible in healing. I mean, this is the power that we've got to reach out for, because this is biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is the ministry of the Spirit and life and power. Amen. He talks about his baptism. He got so, you know, he was seeking God and God was blessing him. But his friend Tom was saying, you know what, actually, how many, I don't know, some of you thought, Lord, I want baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to define baptism of the Holy Spirit maybe another time. But he was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, I want what other people have. Alexander Dowie, he's moving in power. And what about me? Lord, I want. 9 months he's seeking day and night. He got nothing. Would you give up? Would you give up 9 months? How many sought for the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy, baptism of the Holy Spirit for 9 months consistently? I came again across like, you know, people who say, oh, yeah, no, I was seeking and then I got discouraged. How long did you seek? 2 weeks. he saw for 9 months, got nothing. And he got discouraged. He thought, maybe that's not for me. And then his friend says, why don't we pray for this sick lady, Tom, you know, he's a co-worker. He went there and then, okay, let's lay hand on her. He was laying hand. That's when the power came. Very unexpected time. The bolt of lightning hit. His friend who was trying to get John G. Lake to lay hands on her, he bombed out, fell on the floor, and he said, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. John G. Lake said, a bolt of lightning hit. And then he got gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. The languages of heaven began to pour out. An unusual level of signs and wonders were working, you know, were working through him. And he calls this a lightning of Jesus. Lightning of Jesus. And he sometimes, I mean, when he was asked to pray for a sick person had a rash or sore all over the body, he was praying, he laid his hands, and then he went, was told after he left, there was an exact imprint of his hand burned into this sore, quarter of an inch deep, and all the souls died. And you go, what? It's called the lightning of Jesus in the soul of man. And he began to teach healing. He says, you know, the spirit, the law of the spirit of life that is working in me is greater than the law of sin and death. He went to South Africa. I mean, the day I'll get... time will not suffice the things that God had done for him there. Signs and wonders and miracles were taking place there. And he went to Spokane. How many heard a thing called Healing Room? Over a period of 5 years, 1915 to 1920, he was ministering there, Healing Rooms. And something like 100,000 documented healings were taking place during those years because he understood. Now, he understood the source to power of God. His revelation is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For him, it means more than forgiveness of sins. It means the rightness in everything. It means the power. It means that sin, residue of sin, sickness, disease, devil, all has to flee. He used to say, you know, with the electricity, lightning of Jesus, he said, he will fry, electrify the devil, then darkness, and solidify the church. That's nice, right? With the lightning of Jesus, we'll electrify the darkness and solidify the church. With the lightning, we'll just come out of his hand and strike. Now, these are people who have gone very deep into the things of the Spirit because he has such hunger. How many are hungry? How many know there is an inbuilt desire for greatness? That's something that God has put inside of us. Now, of course, because of sin, we get proud. That's the problem. But desire for greatness is not wrong. It is very, very godly. Desire for supernatural is also godly. Because Jesus, what did Apostle Paul say? The Bible says, pursue all these things. But pursue in love. Don't just pursue for the selfish reason because you're going to go wrong. It'll hurt you if you do that. But do it in humility. Do it in love. But pursue all this power, great things. God wants us to realize the greatness of power that raised Jesus from dead is inside of us. Amen? Why should we fear if the Holy Spirit is in us? Amen? God can move mountains. Hallelujah. I'm going to get the musicians to come up. And there's so many other things and stories I want to share with you, but I just want to really encourage you just to get in touch with almost in secular song, hero inside of you. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we get in touch with him. He says, it's not about doing. He says, about being. Amen. It's about knowing who you are, who Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit inside of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to declare, we're going to move mountains. We're going to, you know, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, our words can be final. Amen? Jesus said, if you tell the mountain to move, it'll go. He says, when you are anointed by the Spirit, your words are final. It'll move everything. Why don't I ask this song, yeah? You raise me up. Yeah, why don't we stand? Do you see God raising you up? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe that God wants you to be great? Really? Do you believe that God wants to empower you? Do you believe God wants you to seek Him to receive power from on high? God wants to raise you up more than what you can be, more than what I can be on my own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to have that vision of the righteousness of God inside of you. Hallelujah. Let's see.
When I am down and all my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here with the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on my shoulders. You raise me up. Sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountain. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
Hallelujah. Why don't we just pray right now? Just cry out to God. Hallelujah. Just getting connection with the hunger in you. Don't worry, you know, about other people. Don't worry about looking funny. Just get connected with the hunger. Lord, I want the baptism. Lord, baptize me with power from on high, Father. Lord, I want to know you, Father. Lord, increase the capacity, O God, for the spiritual, Lord God. Lord, walk with you, Father God. Lord, we hunger after you. Father Jesus, that you promised that you will baptize us with Holy Spirit and fire. Lord, we want your fire, O God, to surround us. Father, your fire to jump. Father, O God, in the name of Jesus, let your fire come in. All the depression jump out. Lord, every hopelessness jump out. Let your visions, dreams come in. Lord God, let strength come in, O God. Let power of God come in. Let purpose of Jesus come in. Father, Lord, let strength, O God. Lord God, Lord, let your comfort. Lord, let your strength, let your joy come in. Let your peace come in, O God. Let faith arise, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, let your, Lord, anoint your people. Anoint your children with the Holy Spirit and fire, Holy Ghost and power, that we may go about doing good to all those who are oppressed of the devil, O God. Lord, heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. Father, we speak healing. Father, we speak courage in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you say you will not leave us as orphans in this world, but Lord, the Holy Spirit is with us and in us forever. So Father, we thank you. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord God, be loosed inside of us. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare, oh God, declare the mountains be moved in the name of Jesus. Harabashaka, let's all, if you are baptized, if you can pray in tongues now. Harabashaka rabakala, shorabakala rabashaka. If you don't pray in tongues, it's okay. Just cry out, Abba, Abba, we want your Holy Spirit. Abba, we want what the disciples had in the first century. Father, we want what these apostles had in the first century. Lord, you are not a respecter of person. Lord, if you gave them, you can give to us too. Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, baptize us with fire. Fire! It's called fire! Discouragement be burned. Lord, let disbelief, unbelief be burned and leave this house in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hambaraka shikarabandere lebese karabaka. Hambaraka shikarabaka shikarabakala. Hallelujah. Rambaleke shikarabakala. Haraba shikarabandele lelelele. Orebe shikarabandele lelelele shikarabakala. Lembere suppressing. Pressing. Hallelujah, believe, press in. Holy Spirit is moving. Hallelujah, shikaraba shikarabande. Breakthroughs, breakthroughs, breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, ramba shakaraba karaka shikarabande. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Shikarabande rebereke shikarabaka. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're gonna declare together this mountain to be moved. Mountain to be moved in your life in the name of Jesus. You stand up, you stand inside, stand with me. Hallelujah. What is your mountain? We're gonna speak to your mountain to move in the power of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're gonna declare together, mountain be moved, okay? We gotta release. Holy Spirit is unstoppable. The very creative life of God is inside of you. Fear not. Hallelujah. Say with me, God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Say with me, God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Sound mind. Sound mind is mine. Love is mine. Power is mine. We turn loose the power of the Spirit. I command the moodiness to leave. I command depression to leave. I command negativity to leave. I command I can't help but unbelief. Don't say that. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. Move in power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let signs and wonders appear. Lord God, in our life as well, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just lift our hands. Ask the Lord to anoint our hands right now. Do you believe? Don't lift it if you don't believe. God can anoint your hand right now with power. As we pray, you might feel fire in your hands, or you might, you know, sense tingling like a cloud in your hands. We're gonna ask the Lord to anoint your hands with power right now. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, every lifted hand, Lord, let your anointing Jesus. Anoint our hands with fire and power. Lord, to stretch our hands, oh God. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Father God, we pray for the financial breakthrough as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you have power to move mountains. Lord, we pray, oh God, that anyone who is struggling, oh God, under, Lord, lack in Jesus' name, Lord, through the cross, oh God, Lord, let your abundance be released in Jesus' name. Every curse of death be broken in the name of Jesus. Spirit of faith, rise, oh God. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I turn loose the power of God. I lose the love of God. Faith of the Son of God, arise. Impossible, turn into possible. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn us, O God, into the army of God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Now, how many feel something different in your hands right now? Something different. How many are sick? If you're sick, just lift your left hand. Left hand, okay. Those who know there's something deposited in your hand, you have faith, why don't you get around them and pray? Julie, what's your... We just quickly read out stuff that you picked up. Just if this describes, just wave your hand, okay?
Our Lord is here to heal. So if you feel that you have a pain in your neck, pain in your right leg, there may be a pain in your wrist or maybe a carpal tunnel, irritable bowel syndrome, if you're having, you can't go or you can't hold it in, or you're feeling a bit nauseous and have pain in your abdominal area, we would like to pray for you. God is here to heal.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, do it now. Yeah.
I also sense this as a word of encouragement for this person. I'm not sure if you are here. That the Lord has sent you to reach out and minister to a really hard and dry ground. At least that's what you might think and the people have told you. Encouragement from the Lord is he wants to encourage you today that that's not the case. He says to walk by faith and to trust him and not by sight and what you see. He says, take his hand and walk with him. He says, walk with him. And I see life coming out from the dry ground and hard ground when you walk with the Lord, the grass, flowers, and all kinds of plants. So our Lord say he will empower you.
Okay, amen. How many describe you need healing exactly as described? Yeah, okay. All those who you need healing, lift your left hand. Those who you still feel, you don't have to feel, but pray in faith. What you do, in the name of Jesus, ask what it is. In the name of Jesus, speak to the sickness to leave and power of God to flow and announce healing. So let's do that right now. Those who got hands lifted, people get around them, and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Just find them. Make sure that people who's got their hands lifted are not left on their own. Somebody just get around them. Somebody get around Kidney. Just to take authority in the name of Jesus. Be very specific. And then after the time of prayer, you check it out right now. If you have any difference. In the name of Jesus, Father, release your power. heavenly.
Father God, in the name, I speak to the sickness, leave right now. Run aloud. Right now, leave. Loosen the muscle. Be healed.